Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Movie of the Week. I'm Dan.
I'm Austin.
I'm Angel.
I'm Alex.
And you can join us in the studio. All you got to do is call 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. Or hit up on the live Facebook stream. We can answer questions either on the Facebook stream or live on the air. To get to that Facebook stream, you have to go to Blog Talk Radio, search bar on Facebook, and you know, while you're there, give us a like and a follow. Also head on over to WikiCuriosity Media Facebook page. Give a like and a follow on the Facebook page, on any of our Facebook pages. You can actually website www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. You can also access all of our archived shows on blogtalkradio.com/wikicuriosity. You can also hit us at YouTube, WikiCuriosity Media, and on iTunes at WikiCuriosity Media. You can find us all over the place. You can also find us on TikTok at Angel. All right, so it is another wonderful Sunday night. It's been a few weeks since we've been on the air on Sunday, mainly because, you know, Hollywood is slowing down a little bit with movies.
A little bit.
So, there's hasn't been a whole lot. Hasn't been a whole lot of movies to review. So, you know, if we don't find a movie to review, then we don't watch one and review it. But we are here tonight. So. Anybody have anything interesting going on last week, the week prior, or anything like that?
Honestly, most of my discussion on what's happening will be happening on Tuesday. But no, spent a lot of time doing, you know, mom stuff. That's what I do.
Cool.
This last week was literally nothing but driving my car. Or 50% driving my car and 50% riding my car while Austin drove places.
Cool.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah. We went to Spirit Halloween yesterday.
We did. It was a tad disappointing. It was a very small location.
It was a very small location, and they concentrated a lot on costumes, which I get.
I mean, they always do,
yeah.
But
usually they have more, like, outside store.
They really didn't. I mean, we look at empty shelves in the grocery store, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw a lot of emptiness where the fun stuff was.
Yeah.
You know, the displays. they've had weeks to get ready for people to come into the store, and there was one display set up and not a lot on the shelf.
Yeah.
There was a lot of grapes. That was really it.
Yeah. Well, there was two displays, so I bought one of them.
Oh, okay. Well, so the one where you set the pad, though, like where it actually jumped at you?
Yeah, there was two of them.
Okay.
So
I only got to see one. It was cool. It made our daughter jump a lot. It was funny, but it wasn't worth the money that they charged. The problem I have with Spirit Halloween is that I love going there. I freaking hate their prices, though.
They are a bit expensive. Even on their website, they're expensive.
Yeah, like Halloween. It doesn't need to be that expensive.
Yeah.
Literally how America is.
I know, but it's just disappointing because, you know, so last year we bought everything at Spirit, and I almost threw up at the amount that we spent.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I chose this year. That's not going to happen. It's one night for the year. That stuff never gets worn again. We're not doing it. There was a reason we did it last year, not doing it this year. I don't know. And even their cost, though, there wasn't that, like, if you're taking a 10-year-old and you're going through the costumes, there was like 3 half aisles max. There really wasn't a lot. A lot of their buy-by piece, where you just piece together your own costume, there wasn't a lot of that.
Yeah.
There just wasn't as much this year. It was a very small location, though, and the parking was horrible.
Like, all I think about year-round is that faithful day whenever we go. How do we show our patriotism? Well, we're gonna spend $2,000 worth of charcoal and sulfur.
Every year, and I love it. To a point, I will admit, I am the most anxious on that holiday in particular, but we manage it, and it's fun, and the kids have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
It is a lot of money to spend on shit. We're literally blowing up our money.
It is a weird day.
Yeah, we're blowing up $2,000 worth of money.
Yeah.
But the men are happy. And usually a little tipsy. And then they're even happier. They're blowing shit up.
Drinking and blowing shit up. It's always fun. It's always fun.
But Halloween is hard for me because, you know, you've only got 2 months until the actual holiday, if that matters, to spend money. And so spending more money for Halloween always, I don't know, it's troublesome to me.
When the new world order takes over, we should change what we do on 4th of July. Like,
drive houses instead?
Drive around in circles and drink mayonnaise.
No, I'm not drinking mayonnaise.
Just trying
on
to
4th of July, mayonnaise. We should dress up as ghosts and vampires and go around houses asking for candy. That should be
in
on 4th of July.
In clowns.
I don't know if on 4th of July you should dress up in a white hood. I feel like you went a bit too white there.
Yeah, it's a little over the patriotic line.
I mean, people do it anyway, so why not give them a reason to?
This is true.
But don't give them a reason to.
Are you eating?
Yeah.
Do you eat noodles?
This is my bowl, right?
I didn't. Thanks.
Whose bowl is this?
Probably
that's
my bowl.
Liam's. Go make him a bowl real quick. Take a break and go make him a bowl. That's his dinner.
He wasn't downstairs.
No, you stay. I'll go. Oh, my God. I'll be back. You thought I went down there looking for food. There was nothing.
You know, I'm not going to say I'm an only child, but I'm practically an only child. And the fact that there's one person to feed is amazing. Because we don't get this kind of confusion at my house.
Hey, Mother. Give him this, too. Just put some more on it.
Especially since the recent surgery my mother had. It's either, you know, a handful of leaves and dressing or, you know, a massive steak and noodles for me. So you can't confuse it.
I'm not even
going to
comment on any of that.
Like a fucking wipeout game or like a Big Brother game or something. She fed the bowl through each rung in the fucking stairwell.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, why don't you just come up here and get it? And she was like, no, I got it. She fed it through each one until she got to where she was at the end. God. Anyway, we spend a lot of money on things.
Well,
like, as Americans.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, what is it? Like, Mexico has Cinco de Mayo. I'm right about that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. They do cool stuff. They paint skulls and stuff, and it's cool. We dress up.
Well,
weird
painting
shit.
Skulls, that's Day of the Dead. That's not Cinco de Mayo. Two different things.
Two different things?
Yes.
Cinco de Mayo is still...
It's still a
thing. Though, right?
Yeah, so Cinco de Mayo is...
I would think it's that confused with...
If I'm not mistaken, let me... Because Day of the Dead is similar to our Halloween.
Yeah. It happens around the same time. Unless it doesn't, I mean, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo is... Hold on.
What's the
Battle of Puebla, holiday celebrated in parts of Mexico, United States, in honor of a military victory in 1862 over the French forces of Napoleon III.
That's
so it's kind of like a... I don't want to say it's a Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah.
But it's... You know, celebrating a victory.
What's the French one that has where you get beads whenever you see women's tits?
That's Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's celebrating right before Lent.
Yeah, because it's a whole week of stuff.
Yeah, it's celebrating the week before Lent.
What?
I can't believe you stole someone's food. And then did you get the garlic bread back?
It wasn't good.
What?
It wasn't good.
No, it's not. Stay because it literally just got baked.
It's cold.
Listen, I just want you to be aware that being a mom in this family is exhausting.
All I heard you say was noodles. I don't know what green beans.
All I heard you say was after the show.
And then I saw that it was... And then you said that there was something downstairs for me. So I went to go look.
No.
And there was noodles. Yes. And I was like, ooh.
For your brother who chose to eat now.
She was yelling at Liam, who was in the shower.
Ooh. Have to be
quick. Oh, my gosh. Like, I went down there, and I was like, half a piece of bread. You ate half of it and gave it back. Gross. I'm not giving you that.
Yeah, I would have eaten it.
I wasn't going to finish it.
It was just bread. It was
stale and cold.
It's not stale. I just...
tasted like oil.
I don't know what it is, sir.
It tasted like oil.
That's what these people.
What are you having for dinner, Alex?
Probably glasses from the last time he was
alive. Alfredo.
Oh, what?
We are also having Alfredo.
Cool.
Yes, I made some yummy Alfredo. It's an easiest thing to throw together before the show.
Huh?
It seemed like the easiest thing to throw together before having to come get on the air.
The Day of the Dead is celebrated after Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah. It celebrates the lives of the deceased with food, parties, and
everything. The only place that really sells anything for Day of the Dead is Target.
I don't know why. I think that the Mayo is so integrated in my brain because I don't feel like we even celebrate it that much.
We don't.
We don't. We don't celebrate Day of the Dead either.
Yeah, but Day of the Dead is way cooler.
Right.
Especially, like, to me, Day of the Dead is way cooler than Halloween. Like, that is cool.
Yeah,
I thought Cinco de Mayo was a traditional Mexican holiday. I thought that was
It is.
Something like American-Mexican thing that got made.
No, it's a traditional Mexican holiday. It's celebrated. Over, you know, the French by Napoleon III.
I do think it's weird, but cool, because we do have a lot of...
Mexican population?
I was trying to find a nicer way to say it.
Central American?
We have a large Mexican population, though, in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of stuff out... The only place I ever see anything for Day of the Dead is Target.
Right. Well, you got to think a lot of them probably don't celebrate Day of the Dead.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I was actually, for something like that, I would love to go to Mexico. I don't suggest anything because it seems like a dangerous place a lot of the time, but... Like, it would be really cool to see an actual Day of the Dead celebration.
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably because it's Tennessee, and it's crazy people. But isn't, like, Day of the Dead, it would be a Catholic holiday?
No. Nope. It is literally only a Mexican holiday.
Yeah, but
it has nothing to do with...
No. It is... No.
Is it Catholic?
No.
It would be, right?
The Day of the Dead is a...
Be more of a
It's a it's a lively Mexican holiday that draws on indigenous and European tradition. Assured that the dead would be insulted by mourning or sadness. Day of the Dead, so I'm not going to try.
Good.
celebrate the lives of the deceased, food, drink, parties, and activities the dead enjoyed in life.
Which is great, but when we say indigenous, I literally. Have family from so many different tribes.
Not your indigenous.
Okay.
They're indigenous.
Okay.
The Mexican holiday that draws on indigenous would be
like
Mexican
indigenous.
Yeah.
So I just think we should clarify that because when we say indigenous here, it really refers to
be implied. You know
where they live, right?
Still.
Tennessee. What are you talking about?
The education system.
So indigenous would mean.
Indigenous to Mexico.
Yes.
Plus, our whatever area you like to call us, we are not the indigenous people.
No, I think it's, here's the thing, though. Everybody gets their day, it feels like. Everybody does. And, you know, we have gay pride parades, we have so many things here that don't matter. It would be really cool to see something like that pop up. In this area, let them celebrate the day like the way it's supposed to be celebrated.
Yeah.
Because there's a very large Mexican population here.
I'm sure they celebrate it how they want to celebrate.
Sure, but if you go to Mexico, there are parades and they're in the streets. And like, so like where we do the gay pride parade, which is usually a square, I believe, because it's easier to block that off. It's cool to do that.
Well, I would assume it goes down Dave Street. The badass way of doing it.
It doesn't, but you're funny. I think a lot of things happen in Market Square because it's easy to block off Market Square and stop traffic from coming into that area.
Bay Street's a huge thoroughfare through downtown Knoxville.
Yeah. That would be funny. And
well, that would be the best way to be like a
that
long strip.
Right. There's so many businesses and stuff like that.
I think they do a lot of stuff. I think they do a lot of stuff down in Market Square because it's just easier to corner that off.
Yeah.
And it would be super cool, though, if we opened our, hearts and became humans for a day.
The convention center next to the Globe, that could be that on that day.
Yeah, but they do a lot of stuff in the street is what I'm saying. They do a lot of street stuff, and it would be super cool to see that. Should give them that moment because I would go. I would love to see something like that. Some Mexican street food. Yes. I'm all over it.
Oh yeah, no. It would make sense. We just have to probably not be Tennessee. I'm sure they do so much shit for it down in Texas.
I'm just so disappointed to live in Tennessee right now. Like I hear a lot about like Washington State because we're from there and well. Dan and I went to high school there, and we have a lot of friends there. So I see a lot of stuff from Washington. Literally still does not compare to Tennessee. I fucking hate it here.
No, because Washington...
It's all Democrats.
Yeah. So you either have... So whether it's good or bad, you're either having a wave of something good, a wave of something bad.
And it is bad there. But here's the thing, though.
Tennessee is just always a clashing unit.
So bad in Washington. The difference is that people aren't being crazy stupid. Who's not only made it to like our local news, but national news and all the news because we're not we. I'm not from Tennessee. I'm not claiming because y'all are stupid. God damn, I cannot. emphasize how much I'm so disappointed here right now.
We always have a clashing union. It's us and, like, Texas and, like...
I don't even agree with the half the shit that Texas is doing right now, but I'd rather live there.
Well, because there's the quiet place. I don't know if there's, like, a quiet place in Tennessee.
Quiet places. Clinton, and I'm going to go out there, because it is a small area.
Mm-hmm.
It's so quiet and peaceful and sweet there. They have a great school system. Put that out there for all you weirdos that they want to, like, implant themselves into the city for no reason. It's wonderful. Yeah.
We're getting a lot of people from California and
Florida. Well, because Florida is on, like, one extreme, what, like, the conservative extreme, and then California is on, like, the liberal extreme. So you've got two extremes, like, super extremes, and they're trying to flee from those areas. Sorry.
We get all the middle.
Yeah, at some point.
They're not like, let's go to Ohio. They're like, let's go to Tennessee.
Let's go to Illinois. Don't worry. At some point, you'll have grandparents from both sides of the spectrum living here.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do.
You will. They'll both be here. I'll keep them separated by, like, towns or something. Because they're completely different and at the same time. You got nothing to say? It's your mama.
It's not a politics.
No, I'm just saying it's your mama.
That's
not politics.
The way that people describe shit now is blue or red.
Yeah.
That's what is clashing right now.
I'm not describing either of them as blue and red. I'm saying, like, personality. They're completely opposite. They're opposite and the same.
I'm just talking about the easiest way to describe what's happening.
Which sucks, yeah.
Because it's just two completely different ways of thinking that are clashing.
Do you know what's even worse, though, is to be in the middle of that? Like, to be for this, but you're against this, but this side is both, this side is for both. You can't be in the middle to speak up.
No, because nobody can have opinions. Just crazy people.
Yeah. Dan and I talked about that earlier. There's a lot of crazy people. Let's go to Michigan. Let's go hang out with Alex.
So I'm saying, whenever we have the New World Order, I don't know if I said that a lot, actually. whenever we have the New World Order on 4th of July, we're going to go around in circles and mash cars.
I'm not drinking
drink
mayonnaise. I'm not drinking mayonnaise, sir. Joby would do that with you.
Mayonnaise chugging competition?
No. Let's go to Michigan.
Whenever you run out of mayonnaise, you just let the milk out for a little bit.
We'll hide out in the trees behind Alex's property.
Yeah, Alex. Besides the one loud motherfucker, is pretty lucky in his area.
And he
yep.
seems quite comfortable in his small space there.
Oh, I have him. I forgot to put him back on screen. I forgot. To see.
You want to go to Michigan?
To go.
Oh.
But
not that
bad.
It's only been like 55.
55?
Yeah, it was 55 like all weekend, and then today it was like, let's say, and yesterday, I know I just said all weekend, but I meant Thursday and Friday, it was like 55, and then today and yesterday, it's been like 75 to 80, so.
Alex,
yeah,
if I
gonna get real confused.
If I go there, just put a plate above your bed and we make bunk beds.
That's not how that... I'd have to completely rearrange my whole room for that.
Wow, the stumbling that just happened. That's not how that works often.
I like how he gave a genuine thought. He looked over and he was like...
He did, he looked at his bed.
That's not going to work.
That's not
going to happen. I got windows on one side and I got my bed pushed up against the cot. Nah, that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, make a bed somewhere else.
I'll sleep in a shelf in the closet.
You can just put it in the other room.
You gotta deal with a chinchilla running around at 3 o'clock in the morning.
There's
like a bat out of
bed.
Hell.
Yes, there is. Your dad slept in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Honestly, literally, your chinchilla compared to Liam around in his sleep because of how your bed is, it's the exact same.
It's not lying.
No, I've been real scared lately.
I hear it all the time downstairs.
And our bathroom is right below my bedroom. And I've been on, like, high alert these past few nights. And as soon as I was exiting the bathroom, it's pitch black downstairs. I hear, I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, I got so scared. I was ready to fight somebody. And then I realized, hey, I have a whole ass chinchilla upstairs. She runs on a very noisy wheel that's not supposed to be noisy. And I about threw some hands with the chinchilla because she scared the shit out of me.
Have you tried WD-40 in that shit?
Listen,
yeah, I've tried everything.
Perfect for the butt.
It's not the wheel, it's the cage that shakes. Like,
oh.
Yeah, she just moves the whole thing.
She's just a badass.
I'm just
pretty much. Yeah. The way I got her now, because she has to have sunlight and stuff too, you know. So, I'm going to figure out a new situation for her up here. It's not as noisy.
Earplugs at night.
Yeah, well, I also have, the way our house is built, I'm in the attic.
What?
And there's old, like, where windows used to be. And they still have the shutters, so I have to, like, keep them slammed shut and something up against them. But there's one shutter on the way end there that likes to pop open sometimes. Scares me because I think it's a ghost. And I'll close it, and then she'll get to running, and then 5 seconds later, it just pops open. I'm like, okay, that's it. It's haunted. House is haunted. But then I remember, nope, that's just a shitty shutter.
Your house is definitely not haunted. I slept like a freaking baby there.
Oh, yeah. Every time I hear something, I chalk it up to three things. It's either haunted or there's wind moving in the house because we have our windows open and AC's going all the time, or it's a chinchilla. So,
I mean, the thing is like, since you have your windows open, that's a way less likely because you have less pressure, so you can't actually move that.
Oh, yeah, if we have, like, the wind going and the windows open. Either way, we always have air moving in the house, so it's pushing or hitting, moving something. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a small break. When we come back, we're talking about this week's movie, Malignant.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Hearts that aren't
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
We're back. All right, so tonight we are talking about the new movie by James Wan, directed by James Wan, and written by James Wan. Malignant. It came to theaters and HBO Max last month, and I've waited a while, simply because I've been a little worried about horror movies lately. But before we get into our breakdown, I just want to say that I was pleasantly surprised at this movie, and that this is definitely a breath of fresh air into the horror genre.
It's pretty good.
I was impressed. I was not expecting to like it, or kind of expecting to just be like, yeah, it's okay. But I liked it. So this movie, so the basic premise of this movie is that Madison Mitchell, who is named, I wouldn't even say protagonist of the movie.
Main character.
Of the movie. Is,
she's the protagonist without any immediate spoilers. But the spoiler is shown.
It's, I mean, obviously. And she's beginning to see visions of, you know, murder and people killed and stuff like that. And then discovers that they're real and that somehow she has a connection to the killer. That's basically the premise of the movie, without spoilers right off the bat.
So I just want to point out that this movie came out 16 days ago. It's already had its box office review. It made $29 million.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just in theaters.
No. Father, that's horrible.
Well, I mean...
You realize most movies make $29 million opening weekend?
Yeah.
Or more. That's worldwide. That's worldwide.
I mean, you gotta also realize that this is on... But they released it to...
it's either one of those things where it's either good and we have no way of doing it now, or because it's a movie, or it was really bad. But like, review standards are in the 60s and 70% as well. But I don't understand why, because I thought it was a pretty okay movie, but I think, honestly, from people's standards of horror, I think people are, I think it's honestly because of the advertising. Advertising these movies are extremely horror-based movies when they're not. This is a horror movie. This was not a scary movie.
So there's different, always different facets to every horror that we have.
I think I like more of the crime mystery thriller. The other three genres, but they
this movie kind of struggles with an identity.
It does. Like,
is it a horror? Is it thriller? Is it slasher? Is it a crime movie?
Yeah.
And for me, that's what makes it good, is that it crosses many different genres. There are horror elements to the movie.
I think it's one of those things, though, that it did so bad rating wise because people went into it thinking it was one thing, and then it wasn't that thing.
Right. So the trailers and everything that was brought out about it made it seem more supernatural than what it was.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with false advertising.
I am too.
Just based on the genre.
Right. So I'm kind of overplayed on the whole supernatural thing. been such a played aspect of horror movies that it's no longer creepy.
I'm very okay with overplayed because I know how hard it is to make something new anymore, especially horror. It's hard to make something more scared of anymore. And so I'm fine with people reusing ideas, but I was getting quite tired of it since the only box office ones that would come out of AAA movies were the Conjuring movies. And I have no problem with Conjuring movies like a lot of people do. I get their genre, but they were the only thing coming out.
Right.
They were in their series. They are literally the same movies coming out over and over again. Whereas
those are awesome.
It wasn't.
Yes.
Yes. But like there is almost no other horror movies coming out right now because it's remade and The Conjuring and like Independent, but no AAA.
Right. And that's something that's to me here lately. I mean, we all know a big horror movie, huge horror movie, the slasher genre, that's my favorite genre.
Yeah.
But I also like movies that tend to dive more into a thriller-based horror, where it's like something that could really happen. Movies like Strangers, or Hostel, or movies like that where it's not too far reaching to where they're getting into ghosts and supernatural and stuff like that, to give it that scary element, because to me, the scariest thing is what one human would do to another.
Yeah.
You know, movie like Inside, which I know you haven't seen.
Inside?
Yeah. It's a horror movie. It's about a woman that is pregnant and tormented by another woman who had a miscarriage. Her husband was killed in an accident by the pregnant woman's husband. Yeah. It's really gruesome and creepy.
That sounds creepy.
It is. And it's also a really good movie. Movies like that where it's more grounded in reality are...
All I thought of whenever you said Inside was the book or documentary. I haven't seen it.
I think that's what it's called?
It is.
Okay. Movies like that where it's more grounded in reality. Because to me that's scarier because those things that can actually happen. I'm not
In the supernatural and technological and all those genres came out at a time when people didn't know those things could happen or could happen.
Right.
Now a lot of things in the ghost in the paranormal area are either based in true events that have happened that you can either speculate or is just goofy, and the other technological part of it is based on stuff that's actually happening now. When those movie genres first came out, they were unknown, and we have way more of the unknown than anything else.
Exactly.
So now there's only really one base fear that we can play off of these days, and that is primal fear of predator.
Yes.
So I'm a believer in supernatural things, and so while there's a level of scary there, it's not huge for me because I also don't believe in a lot of the stuff they put in movies.
Right.
But I will say, that, and you and I have talked about it, whether psychological or based on something that could actually happen, like we saw with the Strangers, that is more scary to me than anything. Like something that could actually happen because people are weird.
Yeah.
That's scary.
The first Strangers was really scary. The second one was more action. It was like
more action. Gore.
It wasn't as based in reality, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which they do in sequels. Like, they took it and they were like, okay, let's make it more. Because what made the first one scary was the fact that it was so realistic.
And there was no rhyme or reason to what was happening in the movie Strangers.
In the first one, yeah.
Yeah, in the first one was just the
group of assholes.
Well, the last line that was spoken in that movie and spoken in the one of the lines that was spoken the second movie as well, was, why are you doing this? Because we
And there are people
because
that
you
have
That was
the second one, right?
That was the first one.
At some point in the first one, they said because we can.
Right. They said at the end, because you answered the door, right?
Right.
Which is the whole scary thing, because it's polite. No reward there.
Well, especially now, because it was like in the last 5 years, people have gotten even crazier. Like, we see stories all the time. They're like, what? Hi. It just leads to why I keep my doors locked all day long. Lock the doors behind me when I come in, when I go out, whatever. There's a reason for that. Because more and more we've seen more brazen people who just, oh, this house looks like it worked, and they just walk in, and shit happens. Like, so yes, those movies in what could happen,
yeah.
Those scare me more than anything.
It's also one of those things where, like, having psychopathic tendencies and all is like a 1 in 7 chance or something. That's a big statistic. That's a big number of people that can not only have that sort of disability, but then also take it further to have a murder. That's the same thing. Psychotic is where it gets a bit. It's one of those things where, like, before we had Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy and all that, they were famous because they did a bunch of shit.
Right.
Now it's like the internet. Well, yeah, that's just a shit ton of people all the time.
Yeah.
And never, I don't think that's different. It's just now people have a platform because people just like to see themselves. Shit.
Yeah.
And then also a platform to showcase these terrible people.
Right. There's more access to. What's the word I'm looking for? Exposure.
Mm-hmm. Because it's also a problem where it's exposure. So, like, if you just take look for this guy, the entire world now knows what that looks like.
Yeah.
And so it's a two-way street.
I know you're not a huge fan of the horror genre. But if you were to choose today, what was your favorite to watch versus what?
You have to say that one more time. It would cut out a little bit.
What genre of horror do you like?
Oh, realistic horror, like something like that could actually happen.
Yeah.
Like Us.
Like
well, the beginning of Us, where like they were like, you know, people breaking into your house. That could actually happen. You know, somebody breaks into your house and, you know, home invasion type of thing. Or, like, I know it's not as realistic, but the Halloween movies with Michael Myers. I know he's some type of supernatural whatevers, but serial killer, going around town killing people. You know, lock your door, stay inside. Oh, wait, he's inside my house type of thing. I like realistic horror stuff that can actually, like,
or like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, like The Conjuring and the Annabelle stuff, and like supernatural movies don't scare me anymore. Like, they used to terrify me as a kid, but now they're just kind of meh.
Because, I mean, Michael Myers also used to not always be a supernatural thing, just like this murderer. Like, and Jason as well. Jason was all about, if you took away what seems supernatural in those movies, person.
It was somebody who was dealing with trauma. Like,
yeah, he was dealing with, he got a lump in his head.
Yeah.
And him, he saw it as a ghost, but we were always his perception of it. So it was like, this guy's just hearing his mother in his head.
Right, which made it more realistic, which made it scary. And then they twisted it, and they turned it into 5,000 different things.
Which is what they did with Michael Myers until recently, when Turner took the series back over. And
he's still a crazy person.
Yeah, because he...
Have you not seen the trailers?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's less supernatural and more...
This is the most supernatural beat in this movie.
They even say it in
the
trailer.
The more he kills, the
stronger he gets.
Yeah, the tagline is really, the more he kills, the stronger he gets.
Then I must not have seen the newer trailers.
Yeah, that's
in the first trailer.
The tagline of it is...
And while I think that people...
Halloween
kills.
So I think people that enjoy like Jason and Michael Myers, like that might appeal to them. I'm so freaking tired of it. I cannot tell you how much I do not want to see the poster for another damn Halloween movie.
I
want to
watch new Halloween because I literally want to see them actually kill him. Because it sounds like they're actually going to finish up.
I just want to be done. They can't.
But yeah, he's
was it
like
Jason and Steve. Like
because
really,
Michael Myers' whole thing is being creepy, being slow, being like calculated. Well, that is none of this movie. He is like a demon warlord that can kill anybody he wants. At some point in the trailer, he hops on top of a car. Like, he jumps on top of a car, and you have to see it from the perception of the people inside the car, and that's the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not cool, because I don't even know how this old man can fucking do this. But, yeah, no, I'm more excited because I think they're actually going to kill the bitch.
I hope so. Alright, so I'm going to I honestly don't know where to begin with this movie because there's so many facets of this movie that I want to talk about.
Yeah, the plot line's pretty. It's not that the plot line's scattered, it's just there's so much.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. And, I mean, it all, you know, culminates at the end and is wrapped up in a nice, neat little package.
Yeah. I can honestly say this was a pretty good movie. I would say, I always forget that there's the genre of thriller, so I guess it would go under that, but this reminded me so much of just like an action movie. Like an action movie, but like showcasing the bad guy instead of the good guy, sort of.
It could be an action movie, but it has horror elements to it.
Yeah, but it...
I would say that it's a full-on horror movie. Does to a point.
Yeah. It reminds me of, and I know, I think I'm the only one here that's seen it, I don't know about Alex, but it reminds me a lot of Candyman that just came out as well. A story thriller where it's kind of showcasing the bad guy.
Right.
But telling it through the protagonist's eyes, or the protagonist is the narrator, not the bad guy. They line up so similarly. Pretty similar, like, you have to watch it.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
So I love Candyman, I want to see it.
I don't think, I liked this more than Candyman, but I didn't think it were a bad movie. I think it's just a very new concept. And they both go into it with this advertising, this will be a scary horror movie. It's going to remake horror.
Right.
But they're not remaking horror, they're just making a new genre. They're just making horror action, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're remaking horror. Because they both kind of use that as their pitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's they're using that as their niche because they're bringing in...
I said pitch.
Pitch, well...
Because it's a niche.
Either way. So they're using that as their, quote-unquote, like, tagline.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to bring in the horror fans. Like, you know, my generation of horror fans. I grew up with real horror.
But I don't think you're going to get good views when you pitch it like you want, and then it's not what you want. You're pitching a product that people want, and then you don't give them that product.
Four movies I've never gotten.
Even the iPhone user, right? iPhone 13 just came out. They said that it was going to be insane. You know, it has a whole new number. Is it a new product?
Of sorts, yeah. It's got, like, new internals and stuff, but as far as, like, casing and, like, shape, no.
Is it worth, like, the $1,200?
I mean, no. It also depends on what generation of phone that you have previous. If you have a 12, no, don't.
But that's what I was saying. Like, I meant, like, if you have a 12.
Yeah, if you upgrade from a 12, no, it's not worth it. Wait till yours craps out. But, no, it's not really a new product. It's just, like... It's like going 99 miles an hour opposed to 100 miles an hour, basically.
Yeah.
Yes, you're going fast.
There's a lot of appetite right now for things. I'm disappointed you're not getting things.
Right. But I was not disappointed in this
movie. No, I wasn't disappointed in this movie, but the reason I think the ratings are so bad is because they didn't pitch it to other people. They pitched it to horror people, and it's not what horror people are expecting. is if they pitch it to a general audience, like actually in the trailer, advertise it for a general audience, it probably would have gotten better reviews.
It was supposed to be released in August of last year, and then they pulled it in March, and then we didn't see anything about it. And so there wasn't really, like, good advertising. You see that with a lot of movies now. There wasn't good advertising to say, come watch this. This is going to be a good movie. There wasn't a whole lot out there.
No, yeah, I never saw a single movie.
I didn't either.
Because streaming services, I saw it on our hub.
Yeah.
But that's it. I never saw a trailer for this movie. I didn't even know what I was watching whenever we watched it.
Honestly,
when you sent me what the movie of the week, I was like, we're watching Maleficent. Like, I thought of like so many movies to start with M. I was like, what are we? I had like four strokes trying to read this movie name. I was like, Malignant.
I'm glad we watched it because our 10-year-old wanted to watch it with us. And I will say that this movie, guys, like, it is not made for kids.
I don't know.
It's not. It's really
I
not.
I have a problem with it.
My limit
for children obviously has always been nudity. If it doesn't have nudity in it, I think it's pretty.
I think this went a little beyond though. When we think about little kids watching it and trying to go to sleep, like while it's not the scary thing is based in reality, it still has a lot of imagery there that they may not be able to get out of bed. There's a lot of imagery.
Because to me, these are the things that I would be showing children. Like my Nana showed me. I watched
show
every,
this shit, though.
I
she
watched
shows, like,
every,
old time.
But that's, I forget what the movie is called. Nightmare on Elm Street. Halloween. The other one, Jason. Friday the 13th.
I don't think I would show this to a child, though.
No.
I don't know. It's why I can watch horror movies now.
And the complaint I had about it is, like, fight scenes. And I know, unpopular opinion, but I heard you two talking about it last night, but I actually really hated the CGI.
Really?
It looked incredibly fake.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that looked unclean was the movement, and that's because it was supposed to look unclean. There's some parts of movies where it's really hard to do something that looks unnatural and make it look natural because your eyes are never going to want to make it look real.
I can see your point there, but it was like, I could see the camera footage. Like, where we went from seeing a normal scene to computer.
The only scene that I really saw that was with was when they were in the Washington Underground. Seattle Underground.
Oh, mine's in the police station a lot.
Really?
I fucking
love that so much.
So I will say,
but I could definitely see the difference between here's the scenes with all the people and here's a computer.
I didn't even see it. I thought that was practical. What do they call that? The actual police area.
That there were times, like in the action scenes, where let's kind of break this down.
Go ahead. It's probably like watching a TV show versus a video game.
Okay. So the bad guy, as we start to see more of him, especially in the Seattle Underground chasing, we get to see that he actually is kind of walking backwards.
Right. That scene didn't actually stick out as much as bad, like, CGI.
Right, but, so there was a point in both the Seattle Underground, for me, in both the Seattle Underground and in the precinct, in the police station, where you could obviously tell that it was a person standing normal.
Right.
Doing some of the things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what broke those things for me, kind of broke the mood for those things for me. And I know it's tough to be able to, because one likes to do a lot of practical effects versus CGI. And I know it's very difficult to be practical, you know, to have to be running backwards and walking backwards and moving backwards practice, still be able to do the things that they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, when you're standing and you put your hands behind your back, your wrist either
would be difficult.
Either your hand is going to be upside down or they're going to be inverted.
Yeah.
There were times when, like, the person was turned around and they held the knife or the blade where it wasn't upside down.
The push blade.
Yeah. Where it wasn't upside down or it wasn't inverted, and it looked like they were actually grabbing it, like, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And in those moments, in those close-ups, and in those other times that I talked about, that's where it kind of broke that mood and separated it for me.
I will say that even though it didn't do good in the box office, it did hold the same standard of all of its other movie-related titles. Besides The Curse of La Llorona, where it had $9 million in budget, it had the exact same budget as The Conjuring 2 and The Conjuring the Devil Made Me Do It. So, in those movies, I think there's not as much video on screen, but I think those movies are usually pretty impressive with the cut between CGI and practical.
Right. I will say that there were some decent CGI scenes in the movie.
You can talk. Most of the budget went to the transitions.
Yes.
Those looked amazing. I think, especially because they had, like, shit visibly changing.
Yeah.
Like, you could see, like, people walking and all that.
Yeah, well, you had the doctor looking through the door of the washing machine.
Yeah, you can see her whole body.
Yeah, her whole body in that room. And then we pan back to Madison, and that's her, right, Madison?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the whole room just starts to shift.
Well, and those parts really, I thought, were awesome. The only issue I had was with Gabriel fight scenes, especially, I will say, especially in the precinct, and maybe in the, I would say mostly in the precinct. And it was just, like, it was so...
You could tell.
It was...
Yeah.
It was camp, it was not great.
The only thing that, now looking back on it, makes me laugh really, really a lot is the fact that we now know that it was the girl running by whenever she was doing the laundry stuff, and it was the girl running by and not Gabriel. And so while she was walking forward and doing the laundry, or walking down the stairs to go do the laundry, and you just see the girl run by and go, no! It's like, I thought it was like somebody, like, Gabriel screaming by or something, but it was just a girl going, no! And she's just by.
And there were a lot of those moments, though. Like, I don't want to discount his movie, because I do think he, when we look at that 1 minute clip after,
mm-hmm.
about people are really craving something new, and that's something I always say.
Yeah.
You know, I want just new ideas. And he did give that. But, like, some of it, okay, I'm not going to say what I said last night, but the parasitic twin was horrible.
The teratoma?
Horrible.
The living teratoma.
It looked like the worst Muppet ever grown out of the back of her head.
Okay. It did look pretty weird.
Okay, we get to that. I want to get Alex's opinion on this.
It didn't look, it didn't look bad. It did look a lot like the 1989 thing.
It made me laugh.
Right. But you also have to remember, like, how would that actually look in real life?
Well, if it looked like that in real life, I would probably laugh at a person.
I don't think I would laugh. But
I don't think I would laugh. But I want to get Alex's opinion on the things that we've talked about, because he's just quietly sitting in his studio, not talking.
Yeah. I don't know. I do kind of have an issue with the CGI. I don't know. I feel like studios in the past years have set a really high bar, and then now that they're pulling back, I get COVID, you know, they got to work from home. But that's like a CGI person's dream, is to work from home. So... I don't think that's much of an excuse. Yeah, I don't think that's much of an excuse anymore. I think studios are just getting lazy and rushing. But
yeah.
Other than that, I don't like the concept of this movie. I think it's a bit silly.
Well, because they also didn't outsource. It was like James
Wan studio,
right? It was
his. It was studio of New Line Cinema, which is a.
It's huge.
It's not as big as
in the 80s. I don't think it's very big.
And then.
If it's outsourced, people mostly use Lucasfilm outsourcing, right? Light animation, whatever.
Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah.
That's a big one, obviously.
But, like, that is, like, the outsourced.
That's where Marvel, Star Wars,
plus
some other places. That's where they go for it.
Yeah. So, like, you're talking about a low-budget movie with a very young director and then also a low-budget studio.
Yeah, I mean, this was a big...
People working from home in Disney were able to make a whole movie of Raya and the Last Dragon. I said that right.
Yeah.
And then also the one with Luca, I believe.
So, the production companies for the movie were New Line Cinema, Starlight Media...
Starlight Media is what I was thinking.
My Entertainment and Atomic Monsters. I think Atomic Monsters is James
Wan,
I believe. So, and I'll look that up here in a minute. It was distributed by Warner Brothers, which means Warner Brothers was like, hey, you did making this movie. We're going to put it out into the theaters.
Yeah, because it was enough movie to put out in theaters and on HBO Max. It was on
HBO Max. That's how we watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely put in it that far. Was at least like that good enough to where a big studio could be up and be like, yeah, we'll put it around a little bit, share it around.
Yeah. Okay, Atomic Monsters was founded by James Wan.
Yeah.
So you were talking last night about the different shots that they had in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites is the doll shot where. When you're looking from above and you're seeing Madison running through the house, it's still a very cool shot. That's not used. It's not only used.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you fully because I think that shot is used by every single independent director, and it never looked as cool as they think it's gonna look. Like there are so many movies, and I'm pretty sure most of the movies. I know the Insidious movie definitely did that. They did the dollhouse effect all the time.
Well, that's the James Wan.
Yeah. And so many independent directors do that. They did that in Hereditary. They did that in I can't remember anymore. But they do it in so many independent and lower budget movies because they think it looks so cool. But it's actually as cool as they think it looks. And a lot of people do.
I will say I like how it turned out in this.
I would like to at least see somebody chasing her or, like, something happening or, like, something in the different rooms or, like, movement or something. Like even lights flickering. Whenever she ran under the nursery, not even lights flickering. It was just a shot of a camera moving her around. I didn't like that at all. I wish something was happening during this.
And I can see that, but knowing that what we know now, I mean, you're not going to be able to see the killer running.
I also thought that was super weird. One, there's... I don't know if I'll say it again, but there are so many plot holes with the first act of this movie now because, you know, she fucking... saw the murder happening at the time that she was asleep. So I assume that she went to go do those murders while she was asleep.
Well, choosing me.
Yeah. But it looked like she was asleep, see these murders happen, then wake up. And she was always seeing it, not backwards, forwards perspective, or like if she was doing the kills, she was seeing it from a third person perspective, her own perspective, basically.
Right.
Not from Gabriel's perspective.
Right.
Also, why the fuck did she hurt herself in the beginning of the movie? Why the fuck did she slam her door across the room or whatever?
How did she kick her own ass?
Like, I get it if it was supposed to, like, her brain trying to interpret how the fuck...
She was fighting against it, maybe.
Yeah, like, how it was supposed to be her brain, like, interpreting how she got hurt, ended up there, and then all. Because I think she somehow threw herself back to where she was. So it was probably her... It was supposed to be, like, her brain interpreting what happened that night.
Because you don't ever... After we get the scene of her flying across the room, we meet the killer, and we're flying off the scene. After that, we don't get anything more about the door there.
So she saw what happened.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like you said, that's her brain interpreting.
So how'd she get injured?
It was her getting thrown against the wall. That was the only actual injury that happened.
Yeah.
It was whenever he slammed her head against the wall.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that was fucking, like...
That was violent.
That really pissed me off. Like, I never wanted to actually... bust a man in the face.
At first I was visibly shocked because, like, it was, like, a very shocking scene. But then all I could see was him going...
You and I have talked about the impulse to do it, but we don't do it. But he did it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well,
her and I have had these impulses where, like, which we've both done before. We just stared at people on a bus and then bounced people's
But it really happened. The only person I got away with this was my best friend. She was pissed off at me for 2 days. She was sitting like this and I was this far, you know, okay, for reference, like 2.5 inches from the window. And all I could think was, if I just hit her just right, her head bounced. And then I did it. She was really good, but it did work. Exactly.
Think I'm better than Izzy once.
Sure.
Wait.
For legal reasons, though, you should not bounce your heads off of things.
I was a minor.
It breaks somebody.
That statue.
She can't see again. It's okay.
So, I will say, looking back at the movie, going back through the movie,
mm-hmm.
after, you know, the final reveal at the end, the blood on the pillows after each...
Yeah, there's always clues.
Yeah, there's always clues as to what's going on.
I think I would have liked it, and I'm a psychological horror type person, but I think I would like to make it more obvious. Because it was so obvious the first time through that you wouldn't ever get it, obviously.
Right.
But, like, by the end, we've already figured out what happened anyway. We were all, like, in agreement. Like,
we're all
like,
yeah.
So it's like one of those things where, like, I feel like they should have made it just a bit more obvious. Because we either would have not figured it out or figured it out just as much.
To be fair, though.
To be fair.
The parasitic twin.
Yeah. I knew that.
No, because you told me that's not what it was. I called the parasitic twin.
Yeah, I was going with the different. I really thought that, like, it was, like, a blatant part of her brain. And so whenever she bashed her head against the wall, I thought it was a supernatural thing. But I enjoy supernatural movies more anyway. Not because they're better or scarier. It's just fun to see people
run across
walls. Yeah, it is.
Like, that would have been an interesting take on it.
So I would say that...
It would have reminded me a lot more of... There's literally a movie that did that. That's probably why they didn't do it. There's literally a movie where, like, there's an evil part of them that hurts people.
Yeah.
Side of them.
So I would say that the way James Wan gave us the reveal,
mm-hmm.
and then dove into the aspect of, okay, so again, spoiler. And I know it's a little early for spoilers, but whatever. Madison, you know, isn't Madison. She's adopted. We found that.
She's Emily.
Yeah, she's Emily. And she was, her mother was 15 when she had her. First mother's mother was ultra religious and said, you have to get rid of it.
Also 85.
Yeah. You have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's an abomination. Mm-hmm. Well, find out that there were two.
They knew that, too. That's why they thought it was an abomination.
Yeah.
It was because he always said him, he was...
He was an abomination. Yeah. So you had Emily Madison, who was the full-grown child. Then you had Gabriel, who was the that it twin on the back of...
I wish they also explained that part of that, because the actual scientist explained him as advanced teratoma. The teratomas aren't alive, and also don't have, like, they...
Because in the movie, they were looking at it from the scientific view that the teratoma lived.
Right, and then you got to remember, it's also 85.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't have a whole lot of knowledge of that.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where it's like, they could have either went with vestigial or they just went full teratoma, but then they made this new term.
Okay, well,
so,
fact.
Explain this real quick.
Go ahead.
So there is an actual, I was going for. Okay, I'll let you do the fun fact.
So conjoined twins, by definition, must be identical. They result in the initial cell division that would have made them twins does not complete. So it is literally impossible to have conjoined twins that are male and female. It would be possible for Madison to have absorbed a fraternal twin,
mm-hmm.
but that twin would never have developed to the degree that Gabriel did. And there are no medically documented cases of absorbed twins being anything more than like foreign tissue, occasionally bone, teeth, inside their surviving twin. And most of the time, you don't actually... Like, they don't ever notice it. Like, just something inside of them that 9 times out of 10, unless there was a health issue, they would never know. But then you have Dr. Weaver explains that Gabriel is a teratoma in the third act.
Right.
He refers to himself as a monster. Etymologically, that prefix, terat, terato, and teris, mean monster in Greek, and the last part of the word, the suffix, oma, means tumor. So a monster tumor.
Which is not even what it is scientifically. Teratoma is whenever you're growing eggs.
True, but the word itself literally
what
means monster tumor.
What is
nothing.
Is it vestigial?
It's a vestigial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does nothing.
That's what
cause harm.
Yeah.
That's what teratomas are.
Yeah.
In their entirety.
We should have never had an appendix.
Well, at some point we needed it.
Not now. Now it's just was it your oldest that had
appendicitis? Yes.
Yeah. Like, it can kill you, but it's no purpose.
What's the thing that we have now that's an appendix? It's our liver and then also something else in our body.
Gallbladder?
Well, yes, but no. Starts with a P, I think.
It's, vestigial organ?
No. It's just the thing that releases it.
Pancreas.
That can cause a lot of problems too.
But I would get those two confused because they.
But you need it.
You
need your
pancreas.
Okay.
Pancreatitis and appendicitis.
So, Okay, so the that's kind of what I need to do. So there is a supposed true story about that.
Which would be
Edward Wardrake.
Yeah.
That was portrayed in season three, I believe.
Freak Show was season three.
Yeah. Of American Horror Story Freak Show. So the character is allegedly based on a real 19th century English nobleman of the same name, who was supposedly born with a second face on the back of his head.
A teratoma.
The only difference between that, though, is that is a vestigial twin because they were both male.
Right.
Yes.
The face was incapable of eating or speaking, but Edward claimed they would whisper terrifying things to him at night when they were alone to beg doctors to remove it. They refused, and he took his own life at the age of 23. That's how the story goes.
Well, which would make sense because in circumstances, they shared a brain.
Right.
So using brain communicate with your twin, it would not, if it's true, would
right.
not be unheard of. The fact that the twin could not see or eat was simply because that twin was not fully formed,
right.
but could communicate through, it didn't have to, it wasn't living off of organs or anything like that, it was just there.
Right. There are stories, medical stories, of people that would constantly hear voices in their head, and then they get a CAT scan, and it would show a tumor. And when they opened the tumor, that's when they would find, like...
Hair and teeth.
Yeah, and they would take it out, and then the voices would be gone.
Which most of the time, what I think is actually going on there is...
things like pushing on the brain.
Yeah, teratoma is actually, like, giving you brain damage.
Right. It's not an actual... their consciousness speaking to you. It's
right.
just, yeah.
Psychologically, it's on a piece of the brain that controls thought. But if you were thinking outside of science, I mean, you could look at that,
right.
that piece of that twin still having a connection to the other twin.
Well, so one of the things that, from a medical standpoint, bothered me, but from a, like a movie standpoint, looking at it, you know, outside of the boundaries of normal reality was when they were talking about moving Gabriel from Emily and saying, you know, remove as much as they could, but, you know, they couldn't remove it all because it would, you know, they'd have to go to Emily's brain.
And, like, other functions. And stuff, so he was connected to, like, the lungs.
Yeah, he was connected to a lot of the functions of the brain. So they literally just put it into her skull. And from a medical standpoint, I'm like, wouldn't that further harm the brain because you're putting a lot of pressure on the brain? I know, and again, it's, you know,
I think he was
I saw it.
He was pushed into the school because when they were birthed, I'm pretty sure he was basically already a part of the skull. That's why you had, like, the eyes with that weird brow above it. It was like the brain, folds.
Yeah.
And so they basically just pushed the brain back into the skull.
That's so kind of gross. Like, you failed.
Yeah.
If you have to take it all out, don't fucking cut it.
I thought it was me. So I'm a fan of, like, the gruesome parts of horror.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think one of the elements of horror comes into play for this movie is when they're showing the surgery and they literally show them chopping off his arm.
Yeah, like chopping off his arm, ripping out his ribs
yeah.
that are connected to
yeah,
her
ribs. Yeah, they took all of, like, the pieces of his, because he had like a whole little weird floppy body, they took all the pieces of him off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that they actually showed that in the movie, on VHS tapes, of course.
Yeah.
It was pretty gross.
It was gross.
Like, watching them fold his ribs off of her ribs,
yeah.
that was kind of, okay, I know, I'm weird, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was also one of those things where, like, where the lights flickering and stuff is such an interesting concept, because if they're trying to keep it practical and not supernatural, it's one of those things where, like, since there's two people, one brain, and both have to be thinking at this point at the same time, that means that you're not using 10% of your brain like a normal brain would. You would be a high-functioning brain.
Well, they admitted in the beginning of the movie when the doctor was dealing with Gabriel, there's obviously a supernatural aspect to it because they, you know, like, he's absorbing the energy from the electricity.
Yeah.
So there was a supernatural aspect to him using some function of her brain that we don't tap into to do that
well,
and to,
like,
create like the strength that he has, the superhuman strength that he has.
Yeah.
The back of the brain is a lot of the brain that we don't touch, right, besides Vision, because Vision is like all of the back of the brain. So there's other parts of the brain that we don't really touch back there.
So I'm going to dispel this myth real quick.
Go ahead.
The whole
10% of the brain?
Yeah, I get it. We use 10% of the brain function. We can only function 10% of our brain at a time. We actually use all of it.
Yeah.
But there are parts that we often don't touch as well.
There are parts of the brain that we can't access. We use 100% of our brain. But there are some aspects that, you know, we don't know if we've tapped into yet. Simply because there are things that have been scientifically documented that are out of the realm of our scientific knowledge.
Right. If we look at it from a psychological standpoint, there are people who see and do things that normal, let's say normal with air quotes, people cannot do. There's not an explanation for it. Probably comes from a piece of the brain being used. With not neurotypical children.
Well, we see it all the time. Where anytime somebody is like that, they get CAT scans and then they have higher brain function.
Absolutely. If we look at kids with autism, they tap into parts of their brain that 90% of us do not. So higher evolution is what we have to look at as we see kids that we don't do as neurotypical. Actually, probably evolved humans.
Right.
It's also one of those where they have to sometimes cut off other parts of their brain too. That's why they have social skills and all that.
True. Right. So they block one piece, but they open up a door to the other piece, which is also like for myself. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. Would it be cool to tap into that part of my brain? Maybe. It's weird that humans have the ability to lock doors in their brain and set things off.
Right. What are your thoughts, Alex?
Well, I was gone for half of that conversation because I had to do something, but yes.
So we talked about
brains.
We talked about the surgery to remove Gabriel.
Okay.
What did you think of it?
Visually and also, let's say, theoretically.
I don't know. Don't they do that sort of, I'm pretty sure you guys said this, but don't they do that sort of thing in real life where they try to separate conjoined twins? But sometimes
Absolutely.
You can do it because they don't have, like, vital things connecting them. I think the Gabriel and she has two names.
Madison.
I think they were so connected it wouldn't have been, neither would have survived. So, I don't know. That's the kind of shitty situation for Madison. You know.
It's one of those situations, like, if we see Gabriel, which we already know, but if we see him as a conjoined twin and not a teratoma, it's unethical to separate organs because of vital organs. But it'd be like having a conjoined twin with two heads and then being like, now that one's kind of bugging me, and just cut the other head off.
Well,
that's exactly what this was, where like they were trying to save Gabriel. They were trying to save Madison. They killed Gabriel, basically.
Right, and
right.
When we see conjoined twins that are connected at the head, 90% of the time they will not.
They cannot,
without killing both, separate them. When we see conjoined twins connected at, say, liver, kidney, things like that, they're able to sometimes split the liver. They're able to sometimes, well, you can function with one kidney. Liver is the only organ that can actually repair it and regrow. So if they take half the liver for one and half the liver for the other, there's a chance that both recover a functioning liver. It is horrible, but
yeah.
If they were connected at the heart, they wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, like ones that are connected by the chest or the
yeah.
back. That's a really hard one.
Yeah.
They have to basically, they're connected fully by the back, they have to back the entire back for one.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. It's a horrible situation.
Yeah. The whole room just went quiet.
Oh, I was trying to shut up.
I thought you were listening to you guys.
It's interesting to look like that. If you look at Gabriel as a conjoined twin rather than a teratoma, which would be impossible because he's a male.
Yeah, they don't look very
identical. Yeah, yeah, a little milky on his face and white. But he was super white,
yeah,
like his whole body, right?
He wasn't white after they did the surgery.
he was
bloody and
gray and bloody.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting concept. I would never want to deal with that. I still think that the way they did the surgery was unethical, just because shoving his brain into her skull to try to close him off. Like, and then not giving any history to it.
Well,
what the fuck?
So the ethics behind it, you kind of look at, and I'm not defending either side.
No.
The ethics of it is.
It is.
So Gabriel was stronger and more malevolent, and
he was becoming more malevolent. The whole fucking
he became malignant. But he was becoming more malevolent, and we could see that the electroshock was not affecting him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't affecting Madison either.
Yeah.
Or Emily. Electricity was not affecting either one of them. We saw at the beginning of the movie where he was literally absorbing this. So the ethical question comes down to, and you know, like everybody's opinion on this, the ethical question comes down to, do you keep Gabriel alive and allow him to destroy Emily and possibly become this malevolent evil monster? Or do you, you know, what the doctor said, cut the cancer out? And which is what he was to her. He was a cancer. He was a parasite. And he was killing her.
Yeah, I think the bigger ethical question, honestly, is in science today, would we see Gabriel as a person?
So, I mean, see, that's right.
I think that's the bigger question.
I don't know.
Like, if you
I don't get paid enough to answer these questions.
Yeah, if you see him fully as a teratoma, as a cancer, like, he is literally that, but he can think.
But he's using...
That's what I'm saying, is, like, if the ethical question is, do you see it as a person? If you see the teeth and hair that is pushing your brain, or pushing pressure on your brain as a person, never cut out teratomas. We see them as a cancer.
Right.
He can think. And he gives her thoughts, so it means that he can somehow sentiently think.
Right.
So at what point does it become a teratoma and become a person? And did he reach that line because it wouldn't matter, you could get him out?
Right.
So I think that's the big ethical question of, is he a person? And that's a hard question, that's a hard sell on both ends.
It is.
Because he's sentient, but he's also, it's not a twin, it's a thing that grew onto her.
Yeah, and it's sucking the life out of her.
Yeah.
What do you think, Alex? Both ethical questions that are presented.
Short answer. I don't think it would be unethical to take Gabriel out of her.
Okay.
Short answer to the other one. Is he a thinking, living being? No. Because it's like using her brain to think for himself. But once you cut that connection, he doesn't have a brain. That's Madison's brain. He's just using it. You know, it's like you're at a buddy's house and you use his outlet to plug in your phone. But once you unplug it, then you don't got no phone. You know?
Okay.
At that point, it's like unplugging. At that point, it's just, no, he does not think for himself. He cannot think for himself and breathe and be himself. But I'm sure there's some long answer that some doctor could answer that, well, yeah, he deserves to live. But, I mean, it's not a question of if he deserves to live, is if he can he live, which is no, because he doesn't use his own heart and he doesn't use his own brain. I know some conjoined twins don't, but at the same time, they're able to think for themselves differently.
independent thoughts at the same time.
Yeah, it's not one taking the wheel. Yeah, it's not one taking the wheel and the other taking a back seat. You know, they got to work together.
With them was because Adrian was wanting her to be a lady. They could exist at the same time when she was strong enough. And so they
I also think if Gabriel wasn't treated like shit for like 8 to 10 years or whatever, how old she was when they did that, I think that's what kind of created the monster. I feel like he just wanted a shot at being like Madison. Like, that's all he wanted. And since they were just, you know, he's a cancer, he's killing her, he's this, he's that, they placed all these labels on him, and he was like, well, shit, might as well be. Why not? If I look like it, then I might as well be it.
Yeah, so probably wasn't sanitarily sane either, because she was locked in the clinic all the time.
Yeah.
The computer side was fully thinking nor in an environment to normal life.
Well, Angel, your thoughts?
On the movie?
No, on the question that we, the ethical questions that we just posed. Is Gabriel an actual person, or is he a teratoma, a cancer, and should he have been, or was it ethical for them to
remove him?
Remove him the way they removed him.
Well, I don't know that it was ethical to remove him the way they did, because I think it was super, not, I don't want to say gruesome, if we're looking at it from a medical standpoint, but it was sloppy. And here's my question: when we look at that, where were the scars from where he was removed?
We never got to see her back.
I'm saying, though, like, she didn't question that ever.
Maybe,
like, those would be huge scars, right? All the way up.
How many times
do
you look at your spine and your back, though?
Yeah. Well, she was married, though. Like, at some point, dude would have seen it and been
maybe
like, what the hell happened?
Maybe there was some bullshit answer that she got into a car accident.
What the fuck is that?
You know, because if she did say anything before the age of 8, she didn't remember.
Yeah.
And that could have just been an excuse.
And, so, outside of Emily at the time, he could not communicate anything, and really he was just a danger the whole time. So I would not say that I would classify him as a person. He was not fully developed. He was literally a thing that was going to kill her at some point. If you look at it medically,
okay,
like take the supernatural out of it,
right,
he would have just been a parasite literally killing her. She would not have been able to live a normal free life with him attached. So I think on a level it was necessary to remove him. I think the way they did it though was sloppy and obviously opened the door for what happened in the movie, because they knew he was supernatural.
He got about 30 years ago, so.
But they knew he was supernatural. They didn't
right.
equip her or her family for the fact that he's still in there.
Yeah.
We did not remove him. We removed his body, but we didn't take him out of her. We only removed the official.
Well, the family that adopted her knew.
No, they didn't.
They knew of Gabriel.
They didn't know of Gabriel. They knew of him as an imaginary friend.
Right, but they knew of Gabriel. That Gabriel was this imaginary friend that was.
But they
her.
Never knew that he was a part of her. They never knew
right.
of the surgery. They never knew that she was.
Yeah, they thought
she was detrimental to the
yeah.
safety of others.
Right.
He'd already killed multiple people and covered it up and then left them answerless.
Right.
I think that was unethical all the way around.
That she was crazy.
Right.
And that they would be able to make her not crazy.
Yeah, I think that was unethical. I think that was actually more unethical than everything else.
Right. So here's my answer on the whole ethics question. So the way that I looked at Gabriel was that he's more of a, like a tapeworm than a person, because he was taking everything from Emily, you know, everything that she needed to survive in order to feed his own, you know, feed himself,
Absolutely.
So moving him, it's pretty slow because he does have his own personality.
Right, but if they wouldn't have moved him, she would have gone crazy, and being the dominant body, they both would have been...
Right, right. And I'm not defending keeping him. You know, I'm saying it's a slippery slope. And in this day and age, if this was to happen in today's society, she'd probably be locked in an asylum for the rest of her life and studied.
Absolutely.
Which is really
sad to
say.
I mean, let's be honest.
Kind of gross, but I mean,
she'd be locked in Area 51, and they'd try to weaponize her. That's basically
absolutely
a free super soldier right there.
If she had the normal way if it was a normal hospital that she was brought to and mother wanted to keep her and didn't sign her over or anything like that, I would have loved to see what happens when you put them in a normal environment where they can both be treated fairly, one doesn't need to be reliant to eat off the other, because we don't know if he was fully a tutor because of himself or because of the situation.
Right. It would have been interesting to see, like, an alternative, what would have happened if.
Yeah. They tortured him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made him.
Yeah, they already.
Was.
We're saying that it's the society now. There's a lot likelier of a chance of it being normalized now, whereas they actually did study him then.
Yeah.
Study him though, like they physically tortured him to see what he could take, and that was
gross. Yeah, to see what she could feel as well. It was like the Nazi experiments.
Yeah.
So,
without all that anger buildup, functional, would he have left her alone to live a life?
Right, and you know that's a question that we're not going to be able to answer.
No.
And
interesting though.
With that said.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
Okay, this is the last show. It is that time. Alice, I'm going to start with you tonight. What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
What I liked about the movie was the cinematography. I thought some of the shots were shot very well. I can't really complain about that. You know, I thought the actors that were chosen were very well. I really liked the, almost like the buddy cops with the two detectives. I thought that was a pretty funny duo. I just have two major problems with the movie, and there are two problems that I shouldn't have a problem with, but I do. I understand it's a supernatural, non-realistic movie at all. Problem number one, the knife. The makeshift knife took the award. As soon as I saw the award, I was like, that's a pretty cool looking award, that center knife, you know, it's pretty cool. And then he goes on to take it and turn it into a knife. Pretty cool, except for the fact that it would have crumpled like a piece of paper, because who makes awards out of steel and then plates them in gold? I get it's a medical award, but that thing just should have just crumpled or shattered.
That depends on the prestigiousness of the award.
Also, if he's turned it in, the gold, all of the gold would have been gone.
Yeah.
Whatever was under would have actually been the...
Yeah.
Well, the problem is. The problem is. I don't know what the actual symbol is called, but it's a knife with two snakes going around it. They Gabriel hammered off the snakes, which would indicate that they're two separate pieces. They're two separate pieces, why didn't he just break off the ends where it's attached to the base and slide the thing off? And if then that's the case, then why did he, if it's all one piece, cast all in one piece, then why did he hammer, if it was so easy to hammer off, then why would you then use the blade part as the blade? Because, you know, as soon as you stab or hit something with it, it's just going to crumble, you know? And something like that, obviously that's cast. You don't cast with steel. It's probably cast in bronze, but it can't be cast in bronze because when they ground it, it's silver underneath and flies sparks. That thing is otherworldly, or it should have just crumpled like a piece of paper. My other problem was, how did she not die of
blood?
How did she not die of blood loss? If I'm understanding it correctly, every time there was a murder, it was actually her, and Gabriel would come out, like her back of her head would open, and Gabriel would come out and do his little murder spree, and then head back home, and it would close shut, and that's why there was blood on the bed pillow. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I believe that's
okay.
Right.
I get it, supernatural. Gabriel, you know, can keep the blood in the body. But as soon as that split opens and he shows his face, how's that just not spewing with blood coming out? And then when she lays down, how's that scar just not, how does it, again, supernatural, but still, how's it just not oozing out blood all the time? And her bones. Like, because she uses stuff, like it's backwards because it's him. So it runs backwards, arms bending backwards. She would have so many torn ligaments. She wouldn't be able to walk or move her arms. But supernatural healing, I guess.
Supernatural strength, yeah.
Yeah. There's a bit of,
but I just think she, after that first, you know, that first incident where she was on her killing spree and stuff, know how that would just go back to normal. And then she just finds, because obviously it bleeds, she finds blood on the pillow, but it doesn't bleed that much to keep her alive. You know? Whatever. You know, I don't make the movie. It's definitely a fiction movie, and I'm thinking about it too realistically, but it's just two major problems that I find in the movie. Would I watch the movie again? Maybe. I don't know. If it's on, I'd be like, oh, hey, that's cool. Would I recommend it? If you like James Wan movies, if you like the Saw movies, the Conjuring movies, then yeah, give it a watch. Why not? I don't know. I'd give it like a 6 out of 10. It's got a lot of plot holes. Like, a lot of plot holes. But, you know, it's just something to see. You know, it doesn't have like a deeper meaning to the story, you know. It's just story concept. You see it play out. Boom. So, it's not bad. Uh-huh. I do see a sequel coming, though, the way they set up the end. And how James Wan is, he needs his sequels. So I definitely see a sequel coming sometime soon, regardless of reviews. But yeah, that's my final act.
Okay. Let's say, Julie, your final act.
So what I liked about it is that the concept was different. And I definitely thrive on that because I get really tired of watching the same. It's so, I get tired of watching the same story set up. So I think the concept was pretty cool. It was definitely an out there idea. I think they tried really hard to create a story for it that had the opportunity to be really great. I don't think it was horrible. I agree with Alex. I think there were a lot of holes that they did not fill. But I liked the fact that it was different. And I do appreciate the fact that he does that. You know, he really tried to think outside the box and try to make something out of it, something good out of it. I didn't like the movie. I do think that there was a lot of really candid parts, especially the first 10 minutes of the movie where they're at the hospital and stuff, the lines, the way they're set up. Like, I was almost ready to not pay attention because it was like an 80s movie where I was like, what the fuck is that? Why is the writing so bad? Is this movie all the movie? Because I'm not watching all the movies like this. That was bad, actually. And some of the effects were pretty... Like, I laughed a couple times in a movie that you're probably not actually supposed to laugh at. But I did also, I will agree, I did also love the detectives, especially the lady. She was hilarious. I loved her. She was great. I would probably watch him because I know, in fact, there's got to be stuff in there that I just catch. And it might be kind of cool to go back and knowing what it is, see if you can catch the clue. That would be okay. And I would recommend it if you just want something different to watch. It is a different idea. It's not something that we see all the time on the screen. Do I think it could have been better? Absolutely. But for what it is, it's a cool concept. It's a fairly decent movie. I didn't hate it. I watched the whole thing pretty intently. Yeah, that's me.
Austin, your final act.
I think that it was a pretty good movie. It was a fresh new concept. I think if we keep going this way, they're going to make some sort of like Sinister Six out of all these movie guys, because without too much spoilers, this could connect to like Candyman. Like those two could just have a little crossover thing going on.
James Wan.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely like a kind of just a darker villain movie in certain ways. Obviously not like DC or Marvel, just like kind of their own concept of supernatural beings. But yeah, it is a weird movie, and there are definitely quite a few things that don't make sense in it, which is because it's not really made to make sense. But there's quite a few don't make sense. I think, actually, fun fact, did you know that right now, like, years now, they actually, like, not only induce teratomas on real people, but also, like, they are studying how to do it, like, machinery, so that they can replace things on people and make stuff like that.
Cool.
Like, I don't remember what it was, but you can, like, grow...
Yeah, they've been growing, like, ears on rats and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, like, there was a person that needed, like, a nipple or something. Literally grew the nipple on their elbow or something.
Yeah.
And then they replaced their actual...
Yeah.
But, yeah, they do that stuff all the time where, like, with teratomas. So, weird science. But, yeah, I think it is a weird movie. Not only that, it is a... I get the concept that, like, I know that James Wan is always into, like, sequels, and I really hope they don't continue this.
Right.
I think it wrapped up neatly, unless they do some weird James Wan-verse, don't really actually want to see any more of this movie. I think it left off and did exactly what it wanted to do. And I don't think the reviews were good enough for it to be like, yes, definitely a second one. But, yeah. Definitely watch it again, and I guess I'll recommend it. It's okay. Really informs too much, but it was like I would rather watch this than like Saw or something. So good.
Okay. So other than you know the things that everybody else has mentioned, I like the out of the box thinking of the movie. There was a lot of it was grounded in reality with some supernatural elements that made it just creepy enough to be enjoyable to horror movie fans. And it was... The cinematography was great, like Alex said. There were some bad CGI, bad practical effects. But honestly, in the overall scheme of the movie, those can be overlooked. For the most part. But it was, like I said at the beginning, it was a breath of fresh air into the horror genre by mixing other genres into it and having it be story-driven versus, like, horror-centric, where it's based on gore and jump scares and scares like that. It had a story behind it, and you're left wondering. You want to finish the movie because you want to know the end of the story. One of the things that I didn't like about it, so when it comes to horror movies, especially ones that dive this deep into the lore of the characters and the psyche of the characters, I'm not a big fan of happy endings in movies like this. I think what should have happened, honestly, and this is what I was expecting, is right there at the end where Madison was, or when Gabriel was confronting Madison's sister, Sydney, I think what should have happened, I think Madison should have taken control over the body with the gun and shot herself in the head.
Yeah.
Completely get rid of Gabriel.
Yeah.
Gabriel's not gone.
No.
He's still there.
Yeah.
But I think that's what should have happened. The gun should have been forced into Gabriel's mouth and then shot.
You're never going to hear. You're never going to hurt anyone ever again.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what should have happened.
It would have been a more shocking ending, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I want for, because I want that shock factor at the end, that unexpected ending. He expected everything to be all nice.
Although her sister honestly probably should have died.
No.
Something heavy.
Okay.
Well, she
was the crushed organs and the bleeding, yes.
But yet she, like, scooted out of there. It was all fine.
She also, it was also flipped at the, because I think that on purpose. It was put to the part where the bed had been extended for somebody to lay up. She was just stuck under it. She wasn't after it.
But they made blood. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another
fucking wall.
Another kind of plot point is now what happens to Madison, because that's going to be awfully hard to explain in court. It was my twin brother. He killed all those officers and all those people.
Open,
like,
my
how
brain,
do you defend,
you'll see him.
Yeah.
How do you defend
right.
yourself in court? Because they're going to be like, you're crazy lady.
There's obvious proof, but, like, what actually happens?
Yeah, which is why I think it should have ended
dying.
With her dying.
Because it would have taken away any of the, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she still would have been counted as the killer.
Right, but the messiness would have been gone.
Well, she either...
It'll either show Gabriel out in her head.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where it's either, does she take the blame? Because it's like if you were to have two twins and then one of the twins commits the murder and is killed, does the other one even get arrested at all? Or it's going to be, does she go to a psych ward?
Probably.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be one of the two.
Yeah. And I would have liked that type of question with Madison.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. We are kind of short on time. I'll wrap this up. Would I watch it again? Yeah, absolutely. Because knowing what I know now about the movie, I want to go back, you know, with that knowledge and see the clues and stuff. Would I recommend it? If you're a fan of James Wan, if you're a horror movie fan, if you're a fan of story-driven action slash horror, creepy type movies, then I'm definitely going to recommend it. It was a good movie. Overall, it was good. You know, the thing that things that were issues when they were in the movie, not enough to destroy the movie.
Right.
So, yeah. I think it's worth a watch at least once.
So the because I told you last night, they're called Daggers.
Yeah.
They're badass as fuck.
Yeah.
Because they often get adapted into like ass knuckles and stuff. Pretty badass.
Yeah. All right. So we've only got a few minutes left of the show. I do want to thank everybody tonight for joining us. I had a blast, right? This was a fantastic show. Talking about a decent movie. So I want to thank everybody tonight. Also want to thank all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We do appreciate you guys very much. Remember, support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. Up there every day. Put on the line for you. Don't judge 99% by the 1%. They are ones out there. And please remember, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night when we broadcast on Media every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, Tuesday night for Fallen from Grace podcast, every Wednesday night for Cinephiles, and every Friday night for No by No. Stay tuned tomorrow for a Fallen from Grace. No, sorry. Stay tuned Tuesday for a Fallen from Grace podcast show. Stay tuned Wednesday for a new. I want to say, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you back here Tuesday.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
We will see you all later.
Dripping down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you love me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and said, guess I'd I'm